And today is found in the 32nd chapter of the book of Genesis. I'm passing by two lessons and taking this chapter this afternoon as our lesson. We find in this chapter that Jacob is returning back to his former country, and that as he is returning, he meets a host of angels. And when he sees these angels, he says, "This is God's host." And he called the name of the place Mahanaim. Jacob, when he came into the land of Canaan, according to the word of God who had told him that he should return back to his country, he met these angels. Now, whether he saw these angels in the vision in the daytime, or whether he saw them in a dream at night, as he had formerly seen angels when he had that dream at Bethel, he saw angels going up and down on a ladder, and the Lord stood above the ladder. It is uncertain to say just now how that these angels appeared unto Jacob. No commentary can give you an explanation of it. Whether they were in human form or whether they were in a spiritual form, we do not know, but he saw them. He was coming then back to the land of Canaan. These angels were a great comfort and a strength unto Jacob, for Jacob had just escaped from his father-in-law Laban. God had withheld Laban from doing Jacob any hurt. And now Jacob, he's returning, and here he has a sight which was a good sight for him, a strengthening sight, for there was more trouble ahead of him than what he had ever experienced behind him. And now these angels, they probably congratulated him on his return back to the land of Canaan. And he called the name of this place Mahanaim, which means two host or two camps. This sight that Jacob had was strengthening to him. But these angels had accompanied him from the day that God had stopped him at the place called Bethel. They had been invisible spirits round about him at all times. They had accompanied him even to this present place, but now they appeared unto him. Now he saw them. It is often stated that God's people, they each have a guardian angel that guards them wherever they go. Considering this, it is true concerning the Church of God that angels do guard them and watch over them. And now Jacob, when he saw them, he was very much encouraged and very much strengthened in faith concerning what he was given to see. Now we find that after he had this vision, then he began to think about Esau. He was returning back home, and it was nothing unusual for him to think about Esau, for he had done Esau things that were no good. He had likewise stolen his birthright, and he had likewise stolen the blessing. And he remembered that he had offended his brother, and now probably if this was me and you, well, we wouldn't make known to our brother that we were coming back. We would simply go back without saying anything. But it was not in the heart of Jacob to do this. He decided that he would send messengers to his brother Esau and let him know that he was coming back, and that he wasn't coming back as a pauper. He wasn't coming back empty-handed, no. He was coming back, probably, just as rich as Esau was. While Jacob had been 20 years in Haran serving his father-in-law, and he had a hard master, we find Esau, he had went to Mount Seir, and there he had established himself as a prince. He had authority. He had become great. And now Jacob, he likewise had been blessed by God abundantly, and he had men servants, woman servants. He had two wives, and he had likewise 11 sons. And he had such a herd of cattle, it was immense. So he sent this word to Esau, saying that he had abided by Laban until this time, but now he was returning. And they were to tell Esau that he had these men servants and women servants and children, and that he was sending this message with the hope that he would find grace in the sight of Esau, for he had done him wrong. But when these messengers came to Esau in Mount Seir, Mount Seir was a place, a mountainous place, before that this man Esau came into this place, the Hornites had dwelt there. And it seems that Esau had driven them out, and he had changed the name of the place to Edom after himself. But it was called Mount Seir, which means shaggy or hairy, due to there was so many shaggy bushes upon this mountain. And when these messengers came there and told Esau of the message that Jacob had sent unto him, he immediately gathers 400 men together, probably men just like him, rough and ready. Anything they would do for him, who was their commander, Esau. And now when these messengers heard that he gathered these 400 men together, they knew that he did not mean any good towards Jacob. So we find that these messengers, they came back to Jacob. And they said unto Jacob, we have went to Esau, and he cometh to meet thee with 400 men. And we read right after that, and Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. He became afraid, for he didn't have no 400 men to fight with Esau. He had nothing. All he had was a few men servants and women servants, and he had 11 sons, and he had all this cattle. Why, he would have been an easy prey for Esau. If Esau was going to come with 400 men, he could easily destroy Jacob and his wives and everything that he had. It would have been nothing for Esau to do this. And Jacob knew this. Here he was with Esau coming with 400 men. And he was greatly afraid, greatly distressed. He had reasons to be. He probably got it back to him. His conscience became open, and it began to smite him for what he had done unto Esau. And yeah, Esau, when he heard that Jacob was coming, he was immediately ready to go to meet Jacob. His anger and his resentment against his brother arose. And he says, I'll get my revenge on him. Look what he did to me. He stole my birthright, and he stole the blessing. I'll fix him. This was what Esau probably said in his mind and in his heart. Some think no, but if you follow the history of this story, you will find that Jacob took it that way, that his brother wasn't coming to him as a brother, but he was coming to him as an enemy to do him wrong. And now when Jacob heard this, he was greatly afraid and greatly distressed. And what did he do? What could he do? He used his wisdom, and he separated the people that he had with him. He separated them in two bands, and he said, when Esau comes and he meets the first band and destroys them, then the second band can escape. So he separated these people and all the cattle that he had, and he made two groups of them. And then after he had done this, we find him resorting unto prayer. In his being afraid, in his great distress, Jacob resorts to God. God had been his refuge. God had been his helper. God had commanded him to go this way. He was not going out of the way. He had not run away from Laban. Oh no. When he was there by Laban, the God of his fathers appeared unto him and said unto him, I am the God of Bethel. Arise, I see what Laban has been doing to you. Arise and go back to thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with you. When he received this from God in the field, he called his wives to him, and he told them that God had appeared unto him, and God told him that he should go back to his country where he came from. And his wives, they agreed to go with him, because he had gathered all the cattle of his father-in-law Laban, and they had nothing which Laban could give them if they remained there. So they went with Jacob. And now Jacob is in the right way. He's in the way that God told him to go. And when we are in the right way, that doesn't say it's always going to be prosperity. And prosperity always isn't a blessing either. We can expect trials, we can expect troubles, even though we are in the way in which God has told us to go. So it went with Jacob. And we find that Jacob, he goes alone to pray to God. And I like the way he begins to pray. He said, O Lord God of my father Abraham and of my father Isaac, the Lord that spake unto me and said unto me, return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will do well with thee. Do you notice what I said? Have you read it? He said, O Lord God of my father Abraham and of my father Isaac. What's missing? You know? He didn't dare say, my God. Oh no. Why not? Why not? You remember something of the history of Jacob? Go back to Bethel. When God appeared to him in Bethel and promised him that I will be with thee whithersoever thou goest, and I will bring thee back to this country. But then Jacob, after he had such an appearance of God, he raised up a pillar and he made a vow. And he said, if God will be with me and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, and will bring me again back to my father's house, then God will be my God. Here he didn't dare call God my God. No. He says, the Lord who spake unto me. You see, Jacob, he had not yet been reconciled with God. He had not yet found forgiveness of all his sins. He dared not in faith come to God in this way. But he prayed to God, the God of his fathers. And he had such a hold upon this God, because God had given him a promise. The Lord which has said unto me, return unto thy country and to thy kindred and to thy father's house, and I will deal well with thee. Are my hearers, has God ever given you a promise? Has he ever spoken to you in your life? Oh, what a mercy if he has. When you were in trouble, when you were in distress, then to remind God of what he has said to you. Oh, that's such a hold in prayer, when God gives you to come with what he has said, not what you have said, but what he has said. This is the plea. And now Jacob, when he prayed in this way, thou hast said that thou wilt deal well with me, we find him immediately upon this saying, I am unworthy of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. For When I passed over this Jordan with a staff in my hand, I am now returning and have become two bands. Jacob, when he said, "Thou hast said that thou wilt deal well with thy servant," I think God opened his eyes and gave him the look back. How well God had dealt with him from the day that he met him at Bethel. Oh, God had promised to be with him, and God had been with him. He had been 20 years with Laban, and God had likewise blessed him with wives, with sons, with a great amount of cattle. And this man now, when he remembered what God had done to him and how well God had dealt with him, he came into his unworthiness. "Oh, I am not worthy," he says, "of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. For I came over this Jordan with a staff in my hand, and now I am become two bands." My hearers, has God ever brought you back in your life? Some of you that are listening to me, has he ever brought you back to that place, if by grace you have experienced a Bethel in your life? It may be 20, it may be 30, it may be 40 years ago. Look back, you that have experienced this, you that have had some promise given unto you. You probably heard him speaking unto you. He communed with you. How wonderful that God communed with a sinner like you. And then he promised that he would be with you and that he would bless you and that he would keep you whithersoever you went and that he would likewise save you, forgive your sins, that he would reveal his Son in you. And all my hearers, has not God fulfilled his promise? If not in this spiritual sense, in a material sense, what were you when you were 20 years ago? Maybe 30 years ago. Think back. Maybe you had nothing. You had no home. You had no children. You had nothing. You didn't know probably where the next meal was coming from. Some of us that are older, we know of these things when we had such a terrible depression. Some were even in line to get something to eat. Some of you younger people don't know this, but this has been true for some of those that are listening to me. They had nothing. And now look, look what God has done, even in a providential sense. Has he not done well with you? Some of you have large families. Some of you have a nice home. Some of you have everything that your heart could wish for. Who gave you that? Were you worthy of it? Have you ever been given the feel that you were unworthy of everything that you had? Have you ever sunk down to the floor in a feeling sense of your unworthiness and said, like Jacob, "I am not worthy of all the mercies and of all the truth that thou hast showed unto thy servant"? When you look back over your past life, then you must say, "How richly God has blessed me, such a sinner like me." Oh, my hearers, there's no better place in the world, believe me, than to be down on your knees in your unworthiness. Oh, you are not worthy of anything that you have. Everything that you have, God has given you. All that I am, I owe to thee. And oh, my hearers, here Jacob is in great fear, in great distress. Maybe you're in that position right now. Maybe some of you are afraid. Maybe providentially you're afraid. Maybe spiritually you're in great fear. All my hearers, God's dear children, they come into great fears at times. They fear that the work is not of God, that the root of the matter is not in them. They find it going so opposite to what they had expected. Oh, they can remember the times when it was good for their soul. But now, they often say, I don't know, I can't believe that what I have experienced in the past even was of God. I think it's a lost matter with me. Have you spoken that way sometimes? Oh, I would speak to you and say, nay, soul, do like Jacob. Do like a psalmist says. Nay, soul, call upon God. He says, evening and morning and noon will I call upon God, and he will hear me. Oh, believe me, do call upon him. Do seek him. And you will find that he will deliver you out of the troubles that you are in even at this present time. And he will fill your mouth with praises unto himself. Jacob, he's pleading with God. And as he is pleading, he's being humbled by God himself. Pleading that God would likewise remember him and remember the word that he had spoken unto him. For he says, deliver me out of the hand of my brother Esau, for I fear him, lest he come and smite me and the mothers and the children. You see his fear? Oh, he feared for his own life. He feared for the lives of his wives and of his children. If Esau came, death was certain. They would all be slaughtered. There was no question about it in the mind of this man, Jacob. Oh, deliver me out of the hand of my brother Esau, for I fear him. And he had said unto God again, thou hast said that thou wilt make my seed more than the sands on the seashore in multitude. What will happen to this promise, Lord? You've spoken, you've given it to me. And now here comes my brother, and he's going to come with such terrible, strong men. I'm going to be destroyed. I'm going to be killed. My family is going to be destroyed. And you've promised me, you've promised that you will make my seed more than the sand on the seashore in multitude. Oh, what a hold Jacob had then again upon the promises that God had given unto him. Jacob then, he pleaded God's own word. And there's no stronger plea, my hearers, if we may be given by the Spirit to bring before God what he has said to us. And now Jacob, after he had pleaded with God, in this plea, my hearers, there was this. What would happen? There would be no Jesus. There would be no Savior. He was a lineal descendant, and through him it was to go forth. And if Esau came and smote him and the children and everything, what would become of it? It was God's battle with Esau. He cast his care upon God. He put the case before God. What a mercy, my hearers. When you are in trouble, when you are in distress, when you know no other way out, to have this God to go to. Oh, I would say, seek him. Young and old. He is a refuge. He is a strength ever near us. And now Jacob, after praying in this manner, we find that he takes of the herds that he had 580 cattle. He separates them in droves, the different kinds that he had. And he placed a servant by each drove, and he told them to go over the ford Jabbok, and that when they got over this ford of Jabbok, then they were to set spaces between each drove. And then he commanded the foremost that when Esau came and met him, then he should speak unto Esau on this wise. If Esau says, whose are these? Where comest thou from? And what are these that are before me? Then thou sayest, they are Jacob's. They are a present sent to Esau my lord. And Jacob is behind us. And he told each one that was the head of the drove to speak in the same manner when they met Esau. Jacob then, he separated the cattle and gave a present unto Esau, thinking thereby that he would appease him, that he would accept the present. What a mass of cattle, 580 of them, all different kinds. He wasn't stingy when he made up a present, was he? And we find that when he had accomplished this, then he sent also his wives and his sons and himself. They went over this ford Jabbok. Now this Jabbok was a rivulet that run alongside of the River Jordan. It starts in Mount Gilead, this ford Jabbok, and it runs down and enters into the River Jordan at the sea called Tiberias. Now this rivulet has on its banks cliffs, immense cliffs, 500 feet high on each side. If you're on the top and you look down, you see this, it's just like a brook running down there. It's about 30 feet wide. And now this was the ford Jabbok over which Jacob and all that he had passed over. He must have come to a place where these cliffs allowed him to go down to the bottom. According to the commentary, those that live in that area, they have a name for some of the stones that are still there, typifying that Jacob crossed at this place. And now when he had passed over with all that he had, he returned back. Jacob returned back to the north side of this rivulet, of this ford Jabbok. And Jacob went back to pray. He went alone. And Jacob remained alone, it says. He went back to supplicate and to entreat God. He had been praying to God, but it does not appear that God gave him an answer. He was still afraid. He was still in great distress, this man. The fear of death, the fear of meeting God, the fear that his soul wasn't saved, that his sins wasn't pardoned, they all came upon him. And we find Jacob going alone. It was a matter between him and God. And we find that when he went alone, a man wrestled with him until the break of day. Jacob didn't wrestle with the man, but the man wrestled with Jacob. Who was this man? The Bible says, an angel it was. He prevailed, Hosea says, by weeping and supplicating over the angel. It was none other but the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of angels. It was he who had come down in the form of a man, and he likewise began to wrestle with Jacob. He did not wrestle with him bodily, as we have seen people wrestling together, wrestling on the ground, trying to pin each other down so that we would have the victory. But it's a type of how this takes place spiritually. The Lord came down and put power into the soul of this man, Jacob. And he was given such a spirit of grace and of supplications that he had such a hold upon the Lord. By the Lord himself doing this, he had such a grasp upon him. And he wrestled with him until the break of day. The Lord in mercy gave Jacob this power, this strength to prevail with him. And there it was getting near the break of day. And the angel said unto him, let me go, for the day breaketh. In other words, let me go. Daytime is coming. You have to go on your journey with your wives and with your cattle. Jacob says, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. Regardless of what happens to my wives and to my cattle, I am not leaving thee go except thou bless me. Oh, what a hold this man had upon the Lord. Let me ask some of you, have you ever been given wrestling prayer? Wrestling prayer can wonders do. It's God that gives that to his children. All at times, they have likewise, by the Spirit, such a grasp upon God. Oh, they cleave so to God in prayer and in supplication. They will not leave him go except he blessed them. Oh, what a mercy, my hearers, to have this in your life and to look back at a time when God gave you this wrestling prayer and you did not leave him go and you got the blessing you were asking for. It may be you were in trouble providentially. It might be that you had someone in your family that was near death's door. And oh, I can picture myself what that must have been for you. Or you looked and you saw in your parlor maybe a coffin. You saw the people all gathered around. You seen death had entered into your house. Or you feared that this was going to take place with your loved one, be it your husband, be it your wife, be it your children. The fear of death. Death is coming, my hearers, for every one of us. And all in this state and in this great fear, you ran to God with your trouble, and he gave you to pray to him. You didn't leave him go. You held on to him. You wanted him to answer you. You wanted to know what was going to happen. And he answered you. He gave you to hope that he would spare the one for whom you were praying. Remember that. Oh, what a mercy, my hearers, to have this God to go to when we are in trouble. Oh, may you all have him as your refuge and your strength. Jacob had him, and he would not let him go. And we find that the angel spake unto Jacob and said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. Thy name shall no more be Jacob, but it shall be Israel. For as a prince thou hast power with God and with man. This angel changed the name of Jacob. What was his name? Jacob. What was it? He was a supplanter. He was a crafty man. He was a deceitful man. But now he was no more. Now he was a prince, and he had power with God. Oh, what a mercy, my hearers. The effectual and fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, James says. He's speaking about Elijah. So it is even to this day. When God gives true prayer, he gives you a true grasp upon himself. This effectual, this fervent prayer likewise brings an answer down. Oh, could we always pray like this? Oh, how seldom do we find this going on, even in the hearts of God's dear children. It was God that was doing this unto Jacob. It was not of Jacob, oh no. But Jacob, he would not let him go except he blessed him. And now he received a new name. And then Jacob said unto him, what is thy name? He wanted to know the name of this person that he was wrestling with. He wanted to know so that he could explain in later years who it was that had granted him this privilege that he was enjoying. But he said, why askest thou for my name? It wasn't good for Jacob to ask for his name. He knew who he was. He knew who he was wrestling with. There was no necessity for him to tell him his name. And he blessed him there, it says. He received then the blessing that he was asking for. What was that blessing? It doesn't say, and he blessed him. You could have your opinion, I could have my opinion of what the blessing was. But when he has been given this blessing, then we find that he calls the name of this place Peniel. For he says, I have seen God face to face, and my life has been preserved. In this we find that it was a matter of life and death with this man Jacob, and he prevailed with God. He begged and entreated and supplicated to be saved, to be delivered for his soul and for Esau that was coming unto him. And these blessings Jacob received, and he blessed him there. He then was given to see God face to face. You know, the Jews have a saying that no man can see God and live. But here we have Jacob saying that he's seen God face to face. We can see God in the person of Jesus Christ. This man was given this privilege. And we find that while he had been wrestling with the angel had touched the hollow of his thigh, which made Jacob a cripple. The commentary says, some say that he limped the rest of his life. The Jews, they will not eat of this particular place on any animal because of the memoriam of Jacob and what he went through. But Jacob, he had received the blessing. And not only did he receive this great blessing, but he received that blessing that he became what? A cripple. That with all that he had, he still was dependent upon God. That without God, he could do nothing, even with the blessing that he had. Oh, this man Jacob is a type of every one of God's dear children. Oh, that God may make every one of you of my Bible class spiritual wrestlers and not be satisfied until he has blessed you. Oh, that he may bless you with his dear son, bless you with the pardon of your sins, bless you with the assurance that when you're going to die, you're going to heaven to be with him. All these blessings are given by God himself, by the instrumentality of his word and spirit, and likewise, in and through prayer and supplication, he prevailed and he obtained a blessing. May we all be given this for his name's sake. That's all for today.